Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I am fangirling out a little bit because today I have a great conversation with Angie Smith, who is the author of The Seamless Bible Study. She's done more Bible studies, but that is my favorite, and it's the only Bible study in my whole life that I've ever done twice. So I pray that this conversation with Angie blesses you as much as it blessed me. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we have one of my favorite Bible teachers, Angie Smith, on the show. And Angie is the author of one of my favorite Bible studies. You guys have heard me recommend it, Seamless, and it taught me so much in a season where it was something I was so craving. And so I am fangirling out a little bit to have Angie on this show. But Angie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
So, Angie, I wanted to see if you could maybe just share a little bit about your ministry, your story, your faith journey. For anybody that doesn't know you, that hasn't read some of your books, I think it'd be helpful to start there. And then I'm going to pick your brain over a couple different topics, if that's okay with
you. Love
it.
I love it. I'm so glad to be here. And yeah, I know I kind of have a different story as far as my faith journey. I did not grow up in a Christian home, although it wasn't there's nothing antagonistic, or it just wasn't really part of our life. My family didn't talk about Jesus. It was just, you know, kind of a traditional Midwest, you know, we didn't really go to church. My dad was Catholic. But I moved to Nashville, where I live now, to go to Vanderbilt for graduate school. And while I was in graduate school, we found out that my dad had cancer. And was basically just given a few months to live. And I made a bet with God. And I just said, if you're real, you'll cure him. And no joke, Christmas Eve, we got a phone call and they were like, we can't find the cancer anywhere in his body. And I love to tell that story. I say that in a bittersweet way, because that it's been a long time since then, but he actually did end up passing away about 5 years ago from actually almost exactly 5 years ago from cancer. And so, but the Lord used that time in my life to see him, because I felt like I was a pretty smart person. I love being in school. I'm just, that's kind of how my brain is wired. And after I made this bet with God, I went through RCIA, which is for Catholics. It's to become Catholic as an adult. So you go through it for a year, and instead of like a confirmation as a kid, you do that. And I had the most amazing experience. Wouldn't change it for the world. At some point, I was like, I think my theology is a little bit different from Catholicism. And so I started visiting non-denominational Baptist churches. And while I was there, I met this great group of girls who invited me to come to a Bible study. No idea what a Bible study was. I had a Bible, but it was my Precious Moments Bible from when I had gotten it as a kid. And but I was kind of like on this journey to find out more about the Lord. And so I ended up going, and they were so incredibly kind to me and so patient, and never made me feel like I was stupid or that there were things that I should know, and there was no dumb question. And I really credit them and that time period for just having a major impact on my faith. Incidentally, funny part of the story, I was not a believer yet when I did that study, but they invited me to go on a singles retreat, a Christian singles retreat, which sounded terrible. Like, I would rather pull out my eyelashes one by one. I mean, I had no interest in going. But two of the girls that were in my Bible study were trying to land the same guy. And I thought, there's going to be a catfight and I would like to be present. So I went, And they were like, he's so whatever. And we walked by this room and I could tell you where I was standing. This door was cracked and they're like staring in and there's this guy and he's singing. And I'm like, oh, is that the guy? And they were like, yeah, that's him. And I'm so Italian that I'm like stretching, like I'm in, like, yeah, who's this guy? So the irony of the story is I married him. His name's Todd Smith. They were bridesmaids. I mean, that was
wow.
Not expected to be out, shook out. But I became a believer shortly after. And after I did, I kind of went to the academic thing of like, how do I learn about the Bible? And you mentioned Seamless, but that's really what led to it was I kind of needed to pull back the lens and say, like, what's the general story of scripture? Absolute basic, like picture book story of where does it start? What happens next? I couldn't find that. And so that my faith kind of evolved from finding this place of really understanding scripture. Because before that, it was like, I don't know what to do with this massive book. I can't relate it to anything. And so I think for me, one of the most pivotal times in my faith journey was feeling like I could take ownership of understanding scripture yeah. and my part in this story of Christ from, you know, before the beginning of time. Yeah. So, yeah. yeah.
And I love that because so often we hone in on a specific passage or a specific verse, and we don't take the time to step back and see where it fits in this whole meta narrative, this large storyline yep. of scripture. And then when we're able to do that, which your book does so beautifully, it helps you have perspective of like, where am I in this story mm-hmm. and what does God want to do in and through me and what's his character and what's his nature? And I think that perspective changes a lot for a lot of us.
I just hear you.
Yeah. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about today is we have a mutual passion, and that is Compassion International. And so I wanted to see if you could kind of share about what point in your journey did you get connected to Compassion? Like, was that an organization that you had experience with, or, you know, how did that whole process happen?
It's an interesting story. Some people who found my ministry years ago, it would actually be almost again, exactly 16 years ago on April 7th, I had been pregnant with what would have been our fourth daughter. And about halfway through the pregnancy, we found out that she was incompatible with life is what they said. And I carried her for as long as I could. And at that point, blogs were not really a thing then, but that was just the only thing I could find to kind of communicate what I was going through. And, she passed away about 2.5 hours after she was born, but it was through that blog and through her life that I connected to Compassion. And a year after we lost her, it was April of the next year, I had been invited to go to India with Compassion. Let me clarify, I had asked the Lord when I became a Christian, like, I'll do anything you want, but I don't want to fly and I don't want to speak in public. Which is hilarious. But I said, you know, just keep me from this thing. But I really felt like the Lord was saying, you need to go on this trip. One of my favorite stories from that trip is that I freaked out on the plane right there. It was pitch black dark and the plane, like I say it dropped, you know, almost to the earth. I don't think that's accurate. It was probably a smaller amount than it felt like, but it dropped. And I remember turning around and Beth Moore's daughter was on our flight. She was part of the trip and she's just back there typing. And it occurred to me, like, Beth Moore's kid is on this plane. Like, he's not going to take us out. Like, I got security right there. I'm good. And they tease me because, like, the whole trip I was like standing by her, like, we're under the Beth Moore umbrella of favor. But it was an amazing trip. And I got to meet a little girl, Sangeeta, who is my first Compassion child. And then another little boy who we had gotten not that long after that. His name is Mohit. But with Sangeeta, her birthday was the same day as Audrey's. And so they had kind of searched through different places and found her. And the Lord had that plan. I mean, she was just so special. And so that was kind of how I first came into it. I also came in very jaded. I feel like I was raised in a family where, again, it wasn't necessarily an aggressively negative thing. It was just like, don't trust people who say they're doing good things with your money. Mm-hmm. Like, my husband is a missionary kid. His parents are missionaries. And I remember when I told my parents that I was going to marry him, they were like, great. who knows even what they do. But, you know, it's just that like internal thing that we've seen enough times where it kind of went wrong.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden in your mind, you're like, I don't believe any of this. So all that to say, I went on that trip really not having high hopes for being convinced that this is a legitimate or good organization.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important thing to mention because you, how long has it been? 16 years then that you've been involved with Compassion? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I think that myself included, a lot of people have had experiences, either they've grown up with that kind of mentality or they're jaded or they've been burned because of, you know, not every organization is as upfront and as honest as you would hope them to be. And also like we have come out of this season over the last couple of years where even within the church world, like we've seen multiple mega church pastors fall from grace. And, you know, it's part of the reason why I think podcasts are a space where people are going to for discipleship or Bible studies, because there's somewhat of a distrust with the local church or with larger churches. And so it's really refreshing to hear that too, because as much as I can say, yes, I trust this organization, you know, you being involved with them for 16 years, I think says something about the integrity of the organization. So I love that perspective. How did that change for you? Because I think, you know, there are some people that the first time they hear about Compassion, whether it's at a conference or a, you know, a concert or something, they're like, yes, raising their hand, I want to sponsor a child. Some people are like, you're going to have to convince me a little bit. And, and I think, you know, maybe if you could share, like, what was that moment? Or did you have a moment where you're like, oh yeah, this is the real deal? Like, did that happen on that trip?
I would definitely say there were several. Incidentally, the first time I got a Compassion child was years before that, because my husband was on tour with Michael W. Smith. And if you sponsored a kid, you could get him like reading the New Testament on CD. And I very much wanted that. So we sponsored. Yeah, when we were on the trip, one of the things that stands out to me, and it, you know, it's like sometimes you have these memories where you're like, I remember it exactly. Like it just was such a clear picture in my head. And we were walking down, I mean, just dirty, you know, absolutely impoverished Calcutta, right where Mother Teresa was. We met people who had known her, but just sickness. And it's one of the most spiritually dark places. Even all the people who had been on Compassion trips before said this was probably the most, if not one of the most oppressive, like spiritually oppressive places. There were like sacrifice. I mean, you could see little kids on the side of the road that you knew why they were, you knew why these girls were on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And it just, you feel so helpless. And I'm looking at girls who are my daughter's age with lipstick. And it's different when you're there in person. I mean, I can describe that. And I had it described to me a million times, but it is not until you are literally staring at it and thinking, I hate to say it, but I mean, like, this is real. It sounds so insane to say that, but it really was. And so we were walking and we were in the midst of this. And I honestly think the Lord was like, I'm going to have to hit her over her head. So we're walking and there's like kind of a parting in this crowd. And these this little girl comes walking through and she's got like a little white shirt and her little skirt and she's smiling. And I look at this girl, Keely, who's been with Compassion for years and years and years. And I just kind of pointed to her. I didn't even say anything. And she looked at me and she said, she's one of ours. And it was like, I'm sold. Like, I will get choked up now talking about it, because that's the gospel.
Yeah.
On this dirty street in Calcutta. And I can only say what I saw, but it, you know, you can't make someone understand that unless they've been there. But for me, that was like, okay, I get it. This isn't like some scam people who are on TV, like, send your money and we'll pray for you or whatever. It was like, this money is going to real people. And then we'd go to their schools and we would meet. They have immaculate paperwork. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like every file, everything, like they're just, they love them so well. And so there were many moments, but that one will always stand out to me as like one of the very first that changed everything for me.
My name's Preston Sprinkle and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Yeah, truly. I love that so much. How have your children been involved? Like, have they, I've been praying about how to involve my kids in sponsorship, because I know we get the letters, and I've been trying to, like, each one of my girls, I have had them, you know, respond in the letters. But how have you connected your kids to Compassion?
That's a great question. Well, kids were not allowed to go on our trips. Again, I'm terrified of flying. And so somehow it came up in a meeting and I was like, man, I wish I could bring Abby and Ellie. I have identical twins, they're my oldest girls, but too bad I can't. You know, like, Todd and I have agreed we're not going to travel by ourselves right now, because he had been on tour and it was like, we don't want to leave the kids unless we have to. So I was like, too bad I can't bring them. So then they had a meeting and they were like, we came back and realized these girls are great. We think it'd be really beneficial. I was like, oh, so awesome. So I ended up bringing Abby and Ellie on a trip with me. And they were forever changed by it. I mean,
and just, what age were they at that point?
They were, I'd have to look back to make sure that I'm right on that, but they were somewhere around 10. Mm. I think that's right. I'd have to go back and check. That's terrible. I ended up taking Kate on another trip. And so they all kind of run together. But yeah, I mean, just for them to be seeing it and meeting people who had these stories that were not on pages, you know, I mean, this is a mom whose husband has, like, run away and she's with her kids and they're leaving their, you know, their brains didn't comprehend that. And so to see them praying over people and just this lifelong kind of camaraderie, not just with those kids, but in general of their hearts toward exactly what you said, toward this global epidemic of poverty, and really feeling like I saw something that made a difference. You know, we got there and you can't make up the stories, but it just was the Lord. They had, you know, I bought them some new, like, Converse shoes for the trip. And it turned out that the little girl we were visiting, her mom had, like, saved up Compassion money and bought the exact same shoes. So we had their, like, little feet. And so it was just that combination of, you're enough like me and my age that I can see myself in you, but you're different enough that I can see how blessed I am and how hard this is for you.
Yeah.
They've been really involved since almost the beginning.
I love that. And I think, you know, I was an adult the first time I saw poverty like that up close. And I remember just thinking, like, I want to give this perspective to my kids before they're my age, because I think it changes things with your worldview. And I know my daughter last year, we took her to the Dominican Republic for the first time. And my older daughter had gone, but it was the first time she had gone. And you know, she's the typical, she was 15 at the time and, you know, concerned about shoes and makeup and boys and all the things. Yep. And she was so quiet when we were there. Like, I didn't know. I'm like, are you okay? Or do you have anxiety? Like, what's going on? She would not really talk a lot. And then when we got home, she just went to her bed and she just started to weep. And she said, Mom, I'm so blessed. Like, their whole house could fit inside my room. And I have running water and I can flush the toilet and like just things that, as much as they've heard me talk about the mission field and things that I've seen, it changed her perspective to the point where she goes to a small Christian school and their senior trip, they always do a mission trip. And so last year she started working on her principal. She's like, can we go to the Dominican? And he's like, I had to say yes, because she wouldn't leave me alone about it. And so she has now gotten all of her kids who were afraid to travel, afraid to fly, and their parents convinced that they're going to go to the Dominican and they're going to see firsthand. And I was just so excited, because while we were there, I had no idea how this was resonating with her. I'm like, am I going to need therapy for her when we get back? Like, what's going on? But it has ignited this passion in her that I thank God that he did it, because there's nothing that I could have done to ignite that fire in her. Right. But she's already making plans, like long-term future-wise, like how she's going to be involved in missions as a life choice.
That's
and I thought,
amazing.
My gosh, that happened because we took her. And then the connection between the letter writing and, like you said, like these kids are not that much different than me. They, you know, they have the same joys and likes, and they like to eat candy and, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
But for their young, impressionable minds, it is so impactful for them to see not just the poverty, but the solution, like the hope of the gospel, and the fact that the gospel is what makes the difference for a lot of these kids. So
that's said and so true. And I think there's something to be said about the fact that most kids don't have the opportunity to be overseas and on trips. And I think exactly what you said is one of the things I've always loved about compassion is that it is one-on-one, mm-hmm. and you are forming relationships. So there are these kids who can have a person who they're praying for mm-hmm. and keeping up with and seeing their life. And as parents, even it's such a beautiful way for us to say, even if we're not able to get on a plane and physically go, this is your opportunity to find out the heart of a child who's walking through really difficult seasons, who, you know, you're sharing, you can see pictures of things that you've sent and their families, and they're asking how you are. And so for me, this is going to probably come out sounding wrong, but it just almost felt like too easy of a ministry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I just prayed like, Lord, use this, because they're sitting at our kitchen counter writing, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that can sound a little bit disconnected mm-hmm. from reality, and it isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, the relationship that forms is genuine.
Yeah.
Some of these kids won't ever meet, you know, the people, but they've shared a genuine life and relationship. And that's what has always been one of my favorite things, is that we have the opportunity, even if we can't go there, to have that impact.
Yeah. And I think too, even in a season where even if we can't go, or like I have teenagers and so they're busy, like there's sports and there's so much going on.
And so
for them to have that connection piece, like even planting seeds, like them realizing that the kids that they're writing to are praying for them. Like that has been a perspective shift. Like, oh my gosh, I have so much. I'm trying to help them and they're praying for me and they're asking me, how can I pray for you? Like I feel bad even asking them for prayer, but that has shifted their perspective on what prayer is and the blessing it is to pray for somebody else. And I'm like, share your prayer requests with them, because they sincerely not like, it's not like, oh, tell me and I'll pray for you. Like they're going to be praying for you until you
follow.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And I'm like, that has been such an example of the reality of faith. And it's a testimony to the spiritual care of compassion and what they're teaching through the local church. But also it's your, when your kids get that from that, it's not like me teaching it to them, but they're seeing the reality of it. Like, you know, you could say something to my kids that they will receive, but when I say the same thing, they just won't receive it from me. It's been a really, like you said, kind of an easy way to do that. Mm-hmm. That's made, it's like for such a small amount of investment of time or money, it's made such a huge impact in their lives. So I really appreciate
that.
Exactly
right.
Yeah. So now you are working to do some speaking on the behalf of compassion sometimes. And I wondered if you have a favorite part of connecting with audiences or connecting audiences to the work of compassion. Like, do you have any perspective about that?
I think one of my favorite things is just to sort of watch the people who maybe do come into it a little bit more like I did, who either have already gone through with compassion and have had amazing experiences, or those who I'll kind of find out about come to the table and they're a little bit like, and what about this? And what about, you know what I mean? And it's like, for me, it's just this amazing way for them to kind of see, we're really open about where our money goes and what we're doing and what our mission is. And there's like, it sounds funny, but you can almost see like a chipping away of people where they're just getting it in a different way. I think I just see a lot of myself in that. So that's probably one of the things, or just them coming telling stories mm-hmm. about their kids. And it's almost like some of them, like they're talking about their own kids, yeah. you know, and they're like, and Victoria was baptized and, mm-hmm. you know, and so I think that it, being a part of something where then we get to hear those stories
yeah.
is such a gift. I mean, it's so, yeah, that's probably one of my
I love that. And I've seen that even in my own friends. Like when I started talking about compassion, it's like, okay, I heard about it at whatever the event was, the women's conference or whatever. And then when I'm like, read this letter, like from this 5-year-old that his first words are, I love you. Like this little baby that you're able to impact and his mama, because you're writing letters through his mama. I'm like, this is not like something that, like you said, like you just don't know where your money's going. I'm like, these are real people and a real impact. And if you wanted to, you could go on a trip and meet them. Like this is the reality of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I love seeing that progression. And it's funny because now several of my friends are like, well, you sponsor kids in Rwanda. We're going to sponsor kids in Rwanda too. And we're going to pray that the Lord opens up a door and we can take a friend trip to Rwanda. I'm like, oh, I love it. Like, let's pray that God opens the door.
Absolutely.
So the last time you traveled, where was the last place that you went?
The last place I went was Peru.
Okay.
And that was several years ago. It was an amazing trip. I mean, honestly, they all are. I'm always like so nervous to go because of, you know, the travel and being away from kids and all of the stuff. And I always end up going, well, this is exactly why I was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was several years ago, but it was an amazing trip. I'm talking to them right now about what the next one will be. Yeah. You know, all the COVID. I mean, it just got like the COVID stuff just kind of got nutty. And so we're trying to figure out. And I, as much as I will hate the getting there and kind of the emotional side of it, I've seen what it looks like. And then you come back and there's just this like fire in you all of a sudden. I mean, because I know even now, I mean, I'm picturing myself having listening to this and I would be like, another pitch. You know what I mean? Like I can't, that's how I'm wired. So I know that that's a normal reaction to anything like this. And so I can only say that in my experience, it's such a gift.
Yeah.
So I hope that people who are listening can pick up on that and see that this isn't just another like, you know, sponsorship and it's a program. And I mean, we're commanded to do this, right? Not necessarily in this way, but we are commanded to be taking care of people. And there might be people listening who are like, you know, I do this at church. I do a million other ministries, but if they don't, this is an opportunity, you know? And so I feel like it's whenever I'm on trips and when I'm planning them, there's this thing in my mind that's like, I've got to switch my thinking to this is not a responsibility. This is genuinely an opportunity to go there or to be sponsoring here. So I think that when I go on trips, that it reminds me. And then I'm like kind of back in the in the way of like just being honored to be part of it.
Yeah. And I know too, as I've been having conversations with various alumni that have grown up in the program, hearing from them firsthand the impact the program has made on them, like besides the evidence of like they grew up in the Philippines and now they're a doctor in the States or whatever, like you've seen the actual results, like proof of concept. But then hearing about the fact that they still have all their sponsors' letters and they carry them with them or just the impact, like several of them have told me the first time I ever heard the words, I love you, was from my sponsor. Because culturally, that isn't always something that's part of their relationships. And just understanding the long-term impact that a sponsorship makes spiritually, mentally, emotionally, on top of the financial benefit or the education or whatever, it's a lasting way to have this faith legacy that you can see evidence of. And we don't always get that. Like when we're serving in various capacities or in ministry or whatever, it's such a grace to see the results of that impact. Because sometimes we're not going to see that this side of heaven. And so it's a way to see the fruit of your labor and your investment in a really powerful way that I just think is so beautiful.
You're right. And it's so tangible. I mean, you get a letter and you're like, I sent this money and there's the mattress.
Yeah.
Like, there are the shoes. Yeah. That's the Bible, you know? Yeah. So I totally agree. It's really amazing to be able to see it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. Well, Angie, I was wondering if you would pray for our listeners and maybe pray, if you would, for the listener that's like, on the fence. Like, they're a little bit jaded, but they've been praying about it and they've heard me talk about it a couple times. Maybe just pray for a softening of their heart, or just maybe the prayer that you needed to hear when you were in that similar mental state of like, okay, is this thing real? And because I think we've all been there in various ways throughout our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for this time and just for the freedom to be able to talk about all of these things. And I do want to speak to and pray for the Angies out there, who I absolutely understand. And there's a part of me that just thinks, if there was something that I could say, if there was like a perfect sentence that would break through, I'm not sure what it would be, but Lord, you know what it is. And so I pray that even in these moments as we're closing out and these folks are going to walk away and still have thoughts in their mind and maybe be processing what they've heard, Lord, I pray that you would just speak into those thoughts and that you would remind them that we are called to be taking care of the less fortunate. And if this is the way that you have in mind for them, that you will just show them that. I truly believe there are hundreds of kids who someone is listening right now and, you know, they have no idea that they're about to be partnered with this sweet little pumpkin who's just trying to get through his or her day. And they have no way of knowing what's going to happen a decade from now when they've formed relationship and have filled gaps and have just genuinely had a relationship on earth that they will get to see the fruition of, maybe not until heaven, but we know that it will be there. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone who's listening, just to find a peace today in all of this. Everything feels so sort of unstable in the world in a million different ways, but you are constant and we are a part of the body who has the opportunity to love one another well. And so send us out as your disciples in new ways. And Jesus, I pray that this is one of those ways, and consider it a true honor to have even been a part of the team that would bring together that relationship. And so we will continue to trust you with the ministry that you have given and compassion, and for all the people who are behind the scenes and those going on trips and those who are just going to get another little handwritten letter today and celebrate the fact that they had that opportunity. So thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we will give you all the praise and glory when that happens. We love you so much, Lord. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Angie. And I just wanted to share real quickly, if you are wanting to get more information about Compassion, you can head to compassion.com/hearingjesus, where you can see bunches of kiddos in different countries that you could choose a sponsor. You can even pick a certain birthday or gender, those kinds of things. That's super fun to kind of look and learn about all the kids that are available to sponsor. But Angie, if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I am. Honestly, I'm doing my best to get back on Instagram. I have been a terrible social media person, so I don't have a great place to direct, but I would love to stay connected. So at official Angie Smith on Instagram is probably the best way.
Great, great. And I'll link that in the show notes too for anybody that wants to connect. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure having you.
Likewise.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today.
Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.